Romans chapter 15, verse 14 is where we begin. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And the Bible says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. You know, the purpose for growing in our knowledge of Christ is so that we can be good and instruct one another, help one another. See, no Christian has all the answers. We need to feed off of one another, spiritually speaking. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul could write boldly because he wrote the Word of God, and the Word of God should always be spoken and preached with boldness. Speak it with authority, teach it with authority, because God is the authority. 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Christians are supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be living, breathing offerings to God. In other words, our entire life should be an offering to God. Everything that we do should be filtered through the question, is this going to please God? And if the answer is no, then we shouldn't do it. If the answer is yes, you can entertain it. 17. I have therefore that of which I make glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. We are called to glory in Christ. That should be our motive. That should be our goal. That should be our desire. We should live to draw attention to the greatness of our God and Savior. Verse 18 and 19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. It's all about Jesus, in other words. Any success we have as a Christian is because the Lord God has been working through us, both to will and to do his good pleasure. So the want to and the doing of the want to both come from God. We can't take credit for any good thing that we do. And anyone who tells you that you can is either ignorant of the word of God, excuse me, or they're trying to flatter you. Verse 20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So it was the apostles' ambition to break new ground for Jesus because that's what God called him to do. And if we are sold out to Christ, living for him and loving him, then we can assume that our ambitions have been placed in us by the Holy Spirit, just as Paul's were. He knew that. He knew that his ambitions were from God, because he was sold out to Jesus and they were in line with the Word of God. 21. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they have not heard shall understand. So there's the scriptural basis for Paul's ambition. 22. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Paul wanted to visit these Roman Christians for a long time, which would have been a good thing. But he kept choosing to go to those who had never heard of Jesus before, which was even a better thing. There may be many good things that we can do as a Christian, but we should always choose the best thing in light of the principles of Scripture. 23. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, he did everything he could. Where he was, he exhausted all of his opportunities to do what he knew he was called to do. So now he felt free to move on. 24. Whenever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way there by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. He did everything he could, and now it was time to visit these people. But, you know, with the apostle, pleasure was always mixed with business concerning Jesus. Jesus was involved in every area of Paul's life. It was always all about serving Christ. And if you got to enjoy other things along the way, well, he did that. 25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Giving money for the work of the ministry is a big part of ministry itself. It's not an add-on. It's not an add-on. God has chosen to minister through his called preachers, but also through the financial gifts of God's people. That's how things get done in the kingdom of God. You know, Christianity was never meant to be a spectator sport. 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. 29. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. The apostle wasn't setting any dates for his arrival in Rome, as you could see. He figured he'd get there, but he was leaving the exact day up to God, and that's the smart way to do it. It's best to trust God with the details. Do your best and trust God with the details and the results. 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. One thing that every Christian can do to be a useful part of God's church, and that's pray. Praying is as important as any other part of church work. It all goes together. And prayer is like the engine that moves things. 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted by the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Satan will use the world and the unsaved in the world to try to stop the spiritual work of God's people. And prayer keeps him from succeeding. That's why Paul asked for their prayer. That's one reason prayer is so important. Chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea, that ye receive her in the Lord as become saints, and that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a helper of many, and of myself also. Phoebe was a servant. She helped many, and now God wants others to help her. And this goes right along with what Scripture says. The Bible says we reap what we sow. And since Phoebe sowed good things, God wants her to reap the same. And we're going to skip all the greetings here. And let's go down to verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Notice this. I beseech you, brethren, mark them who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Any teaching that is contrary to the doctrine, in other words, contrary to the Word of God, is going to cause division. The Word of God is truth. Consequently, it is always correct, which is why it is a blessing when it is understood. Division and trouble occur when it is misquoted, misunderstood, or rejected. 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own body, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the innocent. In other words, watch out for slick talkers, especially slick-talking preachers. Stick with preachers and teachers whose lives radiate the holiness and love of God and who teach the word of God, and you're going to be safe. 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you to be wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. In other words, be so good that you don't even think in terms of evil. We should be righteous to the degree that wrong shocks us. If we lose that sense of shock and disgust over sin, we probably aren't as close to God as we should be. 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. God is a God of peace, which is why he's going to crush the devil. Those who are for peace but do not actively oppose those who cause trouble may be for peace, but they're going about it in the wrong way. There can't be peace for good people until evil people are stopped. That's how God sees it. God is smart enough to realize that he has to remove the troublemaker, Satan, before he creates his new heavens and earth, which will then be peaceful. 25. Now unto him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It is the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ which establishes us. In other words, it makes us secure. God secures sinners to himself when they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're secure in Christ. 25 and 26. Now unto him that is of the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Did you catch that? The obedience of faith. Faith and obedience go together. God wants sinners to believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, and if we do, obedience follows. A genuine Christian wants to obey because they truly believe that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. A true Christian wants to obey because the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit who is in them. That gives them the desire and the power to obey. 27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God gets all the glory when it comes to sinners being saved from hell. When a person understands the plan of salvation as God has laid it out in Scripture, they naturally give him the glory through Jesus Christ. Salvation is the work of God from start to finish. And the Savior Jesus Christ is the instrument in that salvation as well as the focus of those who are saved because they know that they owe it all to Jesus, all to Jesus. No one else, nothing else. That is the theme of the book of Romans. All the glory belongs to Jesus for salvation and really anything else. See you in 1 Corinthians.